WTBQ. Hello and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And do you have a graduate in the house? Do you know a graduate? Well, if you do, you got to listen up, because graduating from college, graduate school, whatever you are graduating for, takes a little bit of a leap of faith. It's tough, you know. School feels comfortable and safe, and then you have to go out in the real world, which is very different. And it's very nerve-wracking, and for some people, maybe less than others, but I think for everyone, there's a little bit of nerve-wracking to it. And Lean In, which, of course, everyone knows the book Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. Absolutely wonderful book. In fact, my daughter graduated from high school last June, and she got the Lean In book as a gift from somebody who actually works at Facebook, which is wonderful. And it's a wonderful book. I read it, and now it has been added a few chapters, and it is a new edition called Lean In for Graduates. It is a wonderful book. I highly suggest, and I will probably say this many times in the next, you know, 20 minutes, half hour or so, that this is a book that every graduate should have. And we are going to talk today to one of the contributors of the book. She's also on the board of Lean In, which is really a little industry in itself, which we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about how to negotiate a salary. We're going to talk about Lean In, what it means, and why this is such an important, I would say, just it's more than just an important book. It's an important movement that is really taking place. And we're going to talk about that too. And I want to welcome Kim Keating to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
Hi, Shannon. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. You have such wisdom to give our listeners today. And I am so excited to pick your brain about it, because this is such an exciting time for young women, young people, young everyone to be out there and graduating, and especially young women, because that's kind of where this is focusing on, is women. Explain to any listeners out there who don't know exactly, which I can't imagine, they just came off from a, I don't know where, exactly what Lean In is and what that means. And that's the book by Sheryl Sandberg, which I said you are a contributor to, and you have written a chapter, which we're going to talk about. But what does Lean In mean?
Sure. Well, Lean In means it's a phrase that represents what we are hoping, we being Sheryl Sandberg, the people at the Lean In organization, helping people lean into their, into young women lean into their ambitions, whether it's coming out of college, whether they're professional, whether they're working at home. So it's really about seeking your ambitions and leaning into them. And this was a phrase that Sheryl started, and now it's an online community. Mm. There's an organization based in California, a foundation, and there's over 425,000 members of the Lean In community.
Oh, wow. That's very exciting. So all of this started with, I think, a commencement speech she spoke at, and by saying Lean In, and then all this whole thing grew from it. Is it just for women, or are men leaning in too?
Well, anyone can lean in. We want men to lean in as well. Mm-hmm. There need to be more dads who are stay at home, and more moms who are CEOs. And
good.
We have to start with our boys, teaching them that they need to do work around the house just like their sisters.
That's right. That's a wonderful message. I think when you are partners in a marriage, that you do, whether you stay at home, whether he stays at home, or whether you both go out, or whatever works for your family should be acceptable. To me, that's what a women's liberation was always about, is to be who you want to be without judgment. And that, you know, especially when men can join in, which, by the way, there is a chapter from a man in here recognizing that, which is really exciting. But first, I want to talk about your chapter, because you are brilliant in this, negotiating your salary. I mean, you have written such a wonderful chapter for those women, myself included, that are terrible at doing that. We somehow feel that we need to please more than we have a right to ask. And you say that. You say women often underestimate our abilities. And that's true, that we are trained to listen, not to talk, and that we focus on pleasing others. Is that changing?
I think that it's changing, but it's not changing fast enough.
Mm.
We're still seeing a leadership gap that starts in middle school, where when you ask young women who wants to be president, and young men, you get a pretty even amount of hands in the air, but by the time they reach high school, you see far fewer girls. And when you look at how many CEOs we have in the country and in the world, it's less than 6%. So, you know, when we look at the pay gap and we look at the pay disparity, where white women earn 77 cents to the dollar and African American women earn 64 cents and Hispanic women earn 54 cents, you know, we see that it's not changing fast enough.
Mm. No, it's not. And I certainly get that from a perspective. I'm certainly not in my 20s. And I get that from an older perspective that we were really taught to never speak up. I mean, you know, never, certainly never overstep a man and always, you know, sit in the background and never really ask for what you want. Men are never taught that. Men are always taught to speak up. And, you know, as you mentioned earlier, whether one stays home and the other goes out, regardless of which partner it is in the household, we both have a right to have those same benefits if we're out there working. Now, you are a Harvard graduate. You are a very intelligent woman, very successful. You are founder and managing director of Keating Advertisers. Did you ever come across any of this? I mean, you seem so confident and so put together and everything seems so perfect. Did these issues ever come up with you?
Oh my gosh. I was a mess coming out of college. And I really do mean that literally, because I was it was very hard for me to acclimate to the different environments, and I realized that I had to be successful, and it was that motivation that forced me to learn how to speak up for myself. I grew up in an African-American traditional family with parents who were pretty strict, and I was never allowed to speak my mind, and yet I ended up going to college so on an academic scholarship, and in order for me to basically pay through school, I had to get good grades, which meant that I had to learn how to work with finance majors who were pretty much all white men and figure out how to get asked to be on teams and figure out how to get extra help, because I didn't want to get a bad grade and then have to go back to Arkansas. And when I got to New York, it was the same thing, but on a much larger scale. And so the chapter hopefully provides tips, but also encouragement that even if it's not your natural inclination, you can do it. If I can learn how to advocate for myself and speak up on Wall Street coming from Little Rock, Arkansas, anybody can. And it's just a matter of having an awareness of what these issues are, and then you can take steps to address them.
So having an awareness of what the issues are, you know, it's not, so you're basically saying it's not just about you gathering the strength, which obviously you have, which is, you know, again, hard to believe you seem so accomplished, but most of us have had our tough times. And so you came out of it, you know, getting stronger, but it's not just a manner of being forceful, is it then? I mean, it's a
no.
Manner of, okay, that's good, because, you know, forceful women can, I mean, do we dare say, you know, forceful women are called the B word, forceful men are called confident. I mean, there is something to that. But if it doesn't have anything to back it up, then the women will fall just as flat, I think. So do we have to have something to, let's talk about specifics. Let's say you're mm-hmm. going into a job and you need to negotiate the salary, something women are terrible at. We'll just take whatever they offer us and give us and say, that's fine. But you don't say to do that. You say that we should negotiate that salary. But if we don't have any confidence in that, how do we do that?
Well, you have to be prepared.
Mm.
And you have to make the decision to negotiate. And then with preparation and with practice, then you have to have courage. And I will tell you that if you prepare by getting market data, and you practice the script of what you want to say, anybody can be successful in a negotiation.
Uh-huh.
You can't walk in cold, but with just a few preparatory steps, you can be successful, even if you're scared to death. Because the fact is, most people are uncomfortable discussing compensation, so
sure.
You're not alone.
So gathering the data. So what you're saying is to find out what this job is worth and what other people get paid, so that you can talk with some knowledge, as opposed to just, you know, saying what you want. You can say, this job is worth this.
Absolutely. In my chapter, I talk about the most important thing to do before you're negotiating for a salary or asking for a raise or a promotion is to get up-to-date market data. And on my website, KeatingAdvisors.com, there's a list of resources where you can get information. And I offer compensation reports that are customized so that when you're talking with an HR director, you can have data that will help you level the playing field. You'll know what other jobs are being paid in the market that are similar sized organizations, similar industries. Those are the kinds of things that will really give you credibility when you're having those conversations.
Mm, fair enough. That's good. So you know, arm yourself with the information. And then, you know, let's what is a BATNA? I know you talk about that, BATNA. What does that stand for?
A BATNA stands for the Best Alternative to No Agreement. And that is a very important term because it essentially tells you what your walk-away price is.
And your walk-away price?
Your walk-away price. So
explain that.
You need to know what is your BATNA, meaning if you come in with a job offer that is below your walk-away price, then you know that it's worth it to negotiate as hard as possible. Because if the offer doesn't increase, you're going to walk away.
Mm.
If it's close to your BATNA or just above it, then you may want to soften your position knowing that you might be willing to take it. And so I encourage everyone to, first of all, set an aspirational compensation goal. You set the highest goal. And I will tell you that women often underestimate their earning potentials by 30%.
Wow,
men
that's
ask
a lot.
For, oh, but it's incredible. Men ask for raises up to 6 times more often than women. And when we do ask for raises, again, it's up anywhere from 3 to 30% less than what men are asking for. So set your sights high on a compensation goal, and then you'll know what your BATNA is as well, and that tells you what you are going to be looking for from a negotiation perspective.
Are there other things to consider besides the money? I mean, I can think of positions I've been in where I thought, well, the money wasn't great, but the opportunity was great, or, you know, the hours were good with children, or it's close by, so I don't have to pay for commuting. I mean, do those things, you know, come into that whole negotiation, at least from your end?
Absolutely. You want to think about all of the pieces of the total package, and all of them have value. And that's also a really important thing to keep in mind when you're negotiating. If they're not able to offer you the salary you want, perhaps they could give you more flexibility in your work schedule or additional vacation days.
So you could negotiate that. You could negotiate that by saying, okay, the money, you know, the compensation is not what I want, but if I could have, you know, Fridays off by 2 o'clock to, you know, whatever. So these are negotiations as well?
Well, yes, and you should be careful about the language because it's really important for women to balance asserting themselves without coming across as being self-centered. And that goes back to all of the cultural norms that hold that men should be able to look out for number one, but women are supposed to be more nurturing.
Right.
And so you have to be very nuanced in how you ask for that, and you want to say, and Cheryl talks about this in the book, that you want to give a reason for what you're asking for. So what I would say is something like, well, you know, this position, based on my data, suggests a market value of XYZ. I understand that you're not able to offer me that much, but is there flexibility in giving me more time at home, which would allow me to, you know, reduce my sitter cost or transportation cost and focus more on contributing to the team? It'll allow me to give even more time ultimately to the team because I won't be, whatever the case may be. So you want to ask for something to get you closer to a market value, which encapsulates salary. You want to provide a rationale for why. And those are two techniques when you're asking for a counter that can help you balance that tightrope.
And be careful of how you do it. I think that is so key because we are, I don't know, just as women, we don't do that so well. So we really, I think that rehearsing it is really important. We have to take a break. When I come back, I want to talk more about negotiating your salary and what women, especially women, need to learn. We are talking about Lean In for Graduates, the new book with Sheryl Sandberg. And we are talking with Kim Keating. And we'll be back in just a few here on WTVQ.
St. Anthony Community Hospital in Warwick is your community partner for all your family's health care needs. From our state-of-the-art birthing center to our senior living facilities, we provide a lifetime of care, one life at a time. St. Anthony is part of the Bon Secours Charity Health System. Along with Good Samaritan Hospital in Suffern, Bon Secours Community Hospital in Port Jervis, and Good Samaritan Home Care Agency. St. Anthony Community Hospital, proud to be your partner in health.
Hi, this is Dr. Nick Belasco, host of the Bon Secours Roundtable and director of the Bon Secours Concussion Management Program. If you're in the market for a new family medicine doctor, or if you have a sports injury, concussion, work injury, muscle, or joint problem, come see us at 1 Hetfield Lane, Suite 1B, Goshen, New York. You can reach us at 845-291-0966. That's 845-291-0966.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. Why don't car batteries ever die at the beach on a beautiful day or, say, leave you stranded outside a really awesome amusement park? Batteries only seem to fail at terrible times and horrible places. So before you get stuck somewhere not fun at a moment that isn't convenient, find out how much life your battery has left in it. Get it tested today at your neighborhood Interstate Batteries location. Head to interstatebatteries.com.
That's 294-7001.
Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
I'm Sarah Kearns. Join me for Travels with Sarah on WTBQ 93.5 FM, discussing worldwide travel. WTBQ 93.5 FM, every Thursday at 11 a.m.
I'm Bill Johnson, an old semi-retired dairy farmer hosting the Orange County Farm Talk Show every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. I hope to promote all segments of farming along with input from our listeners every Wednesday, 12 to 1 on WTBQ.
WTBQ. Hi, and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us here today. And we are talking about Lean In for Graduate, Sheryl Sandberg's new book, which is an addition to, or new addition, I should say, from Lean In that came out last year that was a number one bestseller, still is a number one bestseller. It's just, it's more than a book. It's certainly a movement. And we are talking with Kim Keating, who is the founder and managing director of Keating Advisors. She was with Morgan Stanley. She's a graduate of Harvard Business School, and she has written a chapter in Lean In for Graduates that helps you negotiate your salary. She is also on the board of Lean In, which I said is a wonderful movement that we should all be aware of that's helping women get to where they need to be and do it right. And negotiating your salary, I can't think of anything more intimidating for a woman than talking about money. Maybe some women are really good at it. I know that there are some women, but the majority of us, and I definitely include myself in that, are really terrible at this. And with the advice that Kim is giving us, you can be better. And part of that is knowing your information, knowing what you need to say, knowing the background, knowing the data. But still, Kim, when you walk in there, you know, we're still fearful. Is there a way to sit down and is there a way to say things like, say you don't like the salary that they're offering you? Is there a nice way to say, I don't want that, I want more? I mean, that seems so awkward.
Well, absolutely, there's a nice way to say it. And the nice way to say it is to root your response in the data. Mm-hmm. Because that is really the mantra here, and that right. is your support. And you can take strength in saying, you know, I really just want what's fair.
Gotcha.
I just want the market rate for what's fair. And my data suggests that this is a number based on the responsibilities of the position, based on the scope of the job that is more in the range of X to Y.
So it's not really a matter of nice. I heard myself when I said nice. And again, that's that nice, you know, that girl thing. Effective is probably the word to say, you know, a more effective way of doing it. Men would never think about being nice, you know, when they're negotiating
right.
a salary. That's not the word that would come to their mind. I need to be nice about this. No, I don't need to be nice about this. I can hear my husband saying that. Why do I need to be nice about that? You know, and that's the difference between men and women. And men aren't exactly mean about it. I mean, there's, you know, it's not the opposite of nice. It's just that they're effective about what they want, and that's something we need to learn. And it's the same in asking for a raise, right?
Absolutely. You have to take charge. And women, part of why we have the gender pay gap is because women, once you start at a lower salary, that compounds year after year after year. And once you're in a position, unless your company has an annual process, and most companies don't, it's going to be incumbent upon you to initiate a conversation. And that conversation needs to be done thoughtfully and in the context of evaluating yourself honestly from a performance perspective. But then you, if you feel like you're deserving and you've done your research to see what the labor market is paying and what the job is paying with other employers, and I always encourage you to do that research before you start to think about having a conversation with your manager. You should find out when budget decisions are made and try to have that conversation in advance, 3 or 4 months, so that you can preempt any issue with financial resources. And then you start the conversation by saying, you know, I'd like to talk to you about my career and my compensation goals.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if they ask you the dreaded question, you know, what do you want for compensation? I mean, that's that horrible question of they always ask you, what's your salary range or what are you expecting to get? And I've always heard that the first person that utters a price is the one to lose. Do we utter a price? Do we say what we think it should be?
I think that saying is absolutely right. Mm. The first person to utter something is in a worse negotiation position.
Right.
And in my chapter, I advise don't discuss compensation until you have an offer. An employer is going to be much more willing to negotiate if they decided that you're the candidate for them.
Uh-huh.
And also, it allows them to, you want to focus, and in my chapter, I actually give guidelines for how to redirect the conversation and hopefully deflect the issue that will come up. It usually does. But you can avoid that if possible by just saying, you know, I really am open and flexible with my compensation. I'm really more focused on learning about the position. But oh, go ahead.
No, that's okay. No, so that goes to one of the tips I know in Lean In is what do I get? You know, shift your thinking from what do I get to what can I offer? So does that work in that too? In other words, like what can I offer you? If you're going to offer me a position, then you know I can offer you something. And then once we've gotten to that point where we both feel we're getting something, then we should talk about money?
Yes, and that is an offer where you actually have been given a number and a letter or some formal offer. That's when you begin to talk about that part of the discussion. But up until that point, it's really your opportunity to sell yourself. And my colleague Mindy Levy in the book has a great chapter on how to get your first job.
Mm.
And it talks a lot about how to prepare for interviews, how to sell yourself, how to differentiate yourself so that you get that offer, and then you can read my chapter about how to get paid.
Uh-huh. Get paid. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is because that's why we go to work. We want to get paid. I mean, you know, I mean, work is a sense of bribery in some way. You know, you do what I want and I will pay you money. And so we need to negotiate this so we're all happy, which I think is the way it should be. You give and then you get something from it. Tell us about some of the other new chapters in the book in Lean In. I mean, who else? I know that you have written in there. You mentioned a colleague. What are the few new chapters that are in Lean In?
Sure. Well, there is a new chapter written by Melody Hobson, mm-hmm. and it's about owning who you are.
Which is wonderful.
And really finding
yeah.
your voice. She's an African-American woman, and she's just amazing in giving advice to really be yourself and be bold. There's also a chapter from Kunal Modi, and he talks about Man Up and Lean In.
Which is wonderful, too.
Because
that really,
great.
Yeah, no, that really is a nice addition from a man's perspective, yeah.
Absolutely. Rachel Simmons talks about listening to your inner voice, mm-hmm. which is so important about finding yourself. And then Dr. Mindy Levy's chapter on finding your first job, my chapter on negotiating. And then Rachel Thomas talks about leaning in together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the first Lean In, I mean, my daughter got it when she was 18, when she graduated, but it wasn't really just totally meant for graduates. But that seemed to be where so many people found it so important. Obviously, it was a commencement speech that started it, but now you've taken off on exactly what people need, certainly graduates need. And I must add that not all graduates are 20-something. I mean, there's many people that went back to school and are 40 and graduating. Does this apply to them as well?
Absolutely. I think that these techniques apply to men and women
mm-hmm.
and to various generations and stages in a career, because it really is about standing in your power and advocating for yourself.
Absolutely.
And coming from a place of knowledge, and all of that's applicable. And you know, this book is a great tool for boys and girls coming out of college, really to provide a roadmap for starting off on the right path.
Yeah, so much is so important here for going the job as you do, negotiating your salary. Rachel Simmons, listening to your inner voice, so important. Finding your first job, man up, lean in for graduates, all of these chapters, plus the original by Sheryl Sandberg, of course, is in here. It is a wonderful book. It is just, I mean, every graduate should have this, and the truth is probably everyone should have it, especially if you're going for a new job or ever think you will leave your job, because it gives you so much more than when just you're graduating. We need to refresh ourselves with this information probably every 5 years for our life, because it really is a roadmap to life, not just after graduating. It's definitely every 5 years is my suggestion to read Lean In and Lean In for Graduates. Kim Keating, thank you so much for joining us here today. It was such a wonderful pleasure to hear what you have to say, and you're so helpful. I so appreciate it. Again, the book is Lean In for Graduates by Sheryl Sandberg, and Kim Keating is writing the Negotiate Your Salary chapter, which was brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That was delightful, everybody. Everything is always on shannonscorner.com. You can go there and click to a direct link to Lean In. And thank you for joining us here. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.